would find your Bibles, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1. Luke 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke chapter 1. As you're getting there, let me pray for us. Oh Lord, we thank you that you are an amazing, amazing God. As we open your word together today, you be our teacher. Holy Spirit, come and teach us. Come and convict us. Show us where we have not been right, and show us where we need to go. Bring your life, bring your love, bring your strength, your might, your joy. Whatever we need, Lord, today, feed us from your table. Bring your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Feed us together, starting in I'll read it, you will follow, starting in verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. And he and his wife, he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Now it happened that while he was performing, that's Zechariah, was performing his priestly service before God, in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. The whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside of the hour of the incense offering. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years." The angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of the God, and I have been sent to speak to you to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you do not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." The people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. When the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men." Zacharias was one of many, many priests. There was approximately 18,000 priests in this day. That's a whole lot. So his division was there, the division of Abijah was separated into 24 sections, and his division was there to perform their service in the temple. He was chosen by lot. Now, because there were so many priests, you were only allowed one time to go and to offer the incense. Once. That's all you were allowed to in your entire lifetime. This was Zechariah's chance to go in. It seems by the passage it was the evening offering. Zechariah would have been clothed in his priestly garments, of course. He had to go behind the veil, not into the Holy of Holies, but into the holy place, which was still very close to the presence of God, and still a very fearful place to be. He would go in, and what was supposed to happen is he goes, he offers the incense up on the altar. The incense ascends before God, which represents the prayers of the people. Zechariah, while he was in there, was supposed to bow down and offer a quick prayer. Lord, hear the prayers of your people. Come bless your people. He would be in there, offer everything, pray, and then get out. And while he's out there, the people are standing, praying, and waiting for him. Praying, oh Lord, hear the prayers of your people. Come and bless your people. Forgive us when we sin, and let your blessing be upon the people of God. So they're praying. Zechariah's offering the incense of prayer on the altar. He prays. He doesn't come out. And all of a sudden, the people outside who are praying are scratching their heads. What's happened to Zechariah behind the veil? Are we going to have to go and get him? Are we going to have to use a rope, pull him out? What are we going to do? Not knowing that Zechariah is there, and as he's praying, an angel comes and stands in his midst. It says that the angel stood to the right of the altar of incense. So you have the altar of incense, and to the right, the angel is, and then right further beyond that, and this is what it looks like, is that you have the lampstand. So he's between the prayers of the people and the lampstand, representing the light of the world, the presence of God, and an angel comes from God's presence in the midst of the prayers to speak to Zechariah. What he says is amazing. You're going to have a son. This son of yours is going to be great. And then he begins quoting out of Malachi. Saying that he'll be the forerunner. That's from Isaiah. Before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children out of Malachi. The disobedient to the advent of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now Zechariah kind of scratched his head, realizing it's an angel, but he really, if you look back how many times a Lord or an angel appeared to somebody and said, hey, this is what's going to happen. He kind of has the same response, let's face it. When God came to Abram and to Sarah and said, hey, you can have a kid by this time next year. Abram goes, do you know how old I am? Sarah's over there in the tent going, do you know how old I am? And they laugh. And God said, why did you laugh? And I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. And yes, you're still going to have a kid. Why didn't God strike them? I mean, they laughed at God. God ended up having the last laugh. God gave them a kid named Isaac, which means laughter. But here you've got Zechariah, who somewhat responds the same way. Lord, don't you know I'm old? My wife, Elizabeth, by the way, Zechariah means Yahweh remembers. Yahweh remembers. Zechariah says, hey, I'm old. My wife is old. Lord, do you know how long we've been praying for this? I've given up praying on this one, Lord. And Gabriel says, I've heard your prayer has been heard and answered. And you'll have a son. Now, I could spend a lot of time on this right here. Let me give a mini sermon out. I have no idea how long that Zechariah and Elizabeth prayed for God to give them a son. But it seems like they've given up on it. And yet, the angel says, your prayer's been answered. Your prayer's been heard and answered. They might have given up on that 10, 15 years ago. I'm not sure pray that anymore. It's past time now. No babies for me. I don't know what you have prayed in the past. But know that God still can hear and answer those prayers. Maybe you gave up on 10, 15, 20 years ago. Just because you might have given up on your prayers, don't give up on God. The angel appears to him. Zechariah says, hey, there's no way. And the angel says, because you've not believed, I want you to know this. I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. And you're going to be mute until this happens. Why? Because there had been no prophet from the time of Malachi for 400 years. We talked about this a little bit last week. From 400 years, going all the way through up until this time, Gabriel comes. He says, your son is going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. And until he's born, you're going to keep your mouth shut. To really symbolize that there was still no voice of God until the prophet John. For 400 years. Just as the voice of God was silenced. The voice of God was silenced in Israel from the time of Malachi all the way until this point. So it was silenced for just that much longer. Zechariah. And really as a symbol, I believe, of why if the Israel had not heard the voice of God. And of course, he goes out and everybody's amazed. He goes home after his priestly duties were ended. And we know the story, Elizabeth becomes pregnant. Talk a little bit about Gabriel. It's very specific, and there's a purpose why God has sent Gabriel at this time to speak to Zechariah. If you will, flip in your Bibles to Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel 9. Verse 20. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I want you to see the parallel here and why this is so important, what has just happened in Zechariah. This is Daniel. Now while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, presenting my supplication before the Lord my God in behalf of the holy mountain of my God. While I was still speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision previously, came to me in my extreme weariness. About the time of the evening offering. Probably about the same time of day that Zechariah had Gabriel come. He gave me instruction and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your supplications, what was Zechariah doing? praying. Thank you. At the beginning of your supplication, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. So give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince. There'll be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. They'll be built again with paths and moat, even in times of distress. After the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing, and the people of the Prince who can come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood. Even to the end, there will be war, desolation, and determined. I'm not going to go into all the detail in the 70 weeks of Daniel here, but I want you to see what's happened. The people knew that there were 490 years before the Messiah would come. They were in great expectation. Daniel was so extremely accurate. In between the 430 and the 483rd and 490th year, there would be the Messiah that would show up. The people knew from the decree of Cyrus there'll be 483 years, and then you'll see the Messiah. When Gabriel showed up, John knew the prophecy, and it was evident that this was the forerunner. It was happening. And there's a great parallel between the vision of Gabriel to Daniel and Gabriel to Zechariah. The prayers, time of the offering, the repentance, the blessing. And now Gabriel's back on the scene to say, now's the time. The people would have a choice, just as Zechariah did. Believe that now is the time. Many of them did believe, yes, as you know, with the disciples, the 120, and eventually the Pentecost, but there's a lot that didn't believe. This is Zechariah, kind of scratched his head. He had an angel stand before him. Anybody in here seen an angel? I know Ruth has. Do you think if an angel stood before you and said, hey, look, this is what's going to happen, would you scratch your head or would you go, oh, that's what's going to happen? Oh, you're no better than Zechariah. He said he was righteous and blameless. He walked in the ways of the Lord. If it was something outlandish, you'd probably scratch your head too. But are you sure? Be real. I hope I would say, yes, Lord, that is Mary, and yes, Lord, be that to your servant according to your word. The word comes, and we have a choice to believe. Just as they did in Jesus' day. The word comes, and we have a choice to believe. Just as they did in Jesus' day. And I don't care if it's an angel that stands before you. Jesus himself who stands before you. Or me. We still have a choice to believe. Ultimately, the number one choice we have to believe is, do we believe that Jesus... Do we believe it was Jesus, the Son of God, the Christ, who was born of a virgin? That he's the Son of God. That is the number one thing that we have to believe in order to be saved. hoping, I believe all everyone in here believes that. If you don't, let's talk. If you need to reaffirm that, let's talk. Come see me afterward. Let's talk about it. Let's get this nailed down. Don't leave this house today scratching your head and wondering where you're going to go when you die. You know, God has also left his prophetic word here. And we have a choice whether we're going to believe what God says to us. I know Ruth and I received a number of prophetic words. Some of them we've had to place on the shelf. We go, okay, Lord, you're God. And we have no idea how in the world you're going to do this, but here. Okay, just a little bit. They're one of the most significant ones we've ever had. We were married just a couple of years, maybe three. And a gentleman came into our church. He called us out of the meeting that we were on staff at the church. He just called us out of the congregation to come up here. And he starts praying over us and starts declaring all these amazing, amazing things. I mean, talk about reading our mail. I mean, things that we knew about that we had done. He's like, oh, this is what I see. Boom, 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 boom. And you're going, I have no idea how you do that. In fact, he told Ruth that I see you, you know, putting your hands on little kids and raising them up and sharing Jesus with these little kids. And Ruth said, I have no desire whatsoever to be involved in children's ministry. No, you've missed it. Go talk to somebody else. And you know what? Within a couple of years, she had people calling her and saying, hey, would you watch my children? And she had these kids who their parents weren't saved. And then she'd come and she'd pray with them. And she'd teach them about the gospel. And she'd taught them to pray. And they'd pray at meals. And she was teaching them about the word. And she's like, oh, I guess he knew what he was talking about. And as you know, we've been at Vacation Bible School the last 4 years. And it's just been snowballing. God speaks to us through a prophet, or speaks to us in our hearts, we still have the choice we're going to believe. Zechariah scratched his head and said, I'm not sure I believe you. And the angel didn't like that very much and struck him mute. In Matthew 10:41, it says this, those who receive a prophet in the name of the prophet receive a prophet's reward. What's that reward? The reward there is to be able to see and hear from God. Let me tell you how that works. If you're not going to believe what's being told you, God's not going to tell you anymore. If you're not going to believe what God's told you, He's not going to tell you anymore. He's not going to send people to you to give you words to tell you what that He is saying to the throne if you're not going to believe Him. I've experienced this. For some people I'm around, I'm going to just, this is what, this is give you this encouragement. It's like every time I get around them and give them what God is saying. It's encouraging to them. I'm saying, here, don't be discouraged with this. This is what God's got. And they receive it. And every time it goes, like, anytime they need something, oh, something wells up in my heart that I said, this is what God's saying to you. And they receive it. And Then there's others that I've been around where they just go, oh, you're nice, we'll see you later. You know what? Next time around, I'm around them. The Lord doesn't tell me to give them anything. We all can be like Zechariah. And if we don't receive those things that God is giving to us, whether that's in your heart, whether that's through a pastor, through an evangelist like Huntsie coming in, whether that's through the scripture, if we don't receive it, there won't be any more. So let me implore you. Ask the Lord if that's happened. If you haven't been hearing from Him, see if there's something you haven't believed. If there's something He's told you that you just said, I'm not quite sure, Lord. Something that somebody else has come and told you and said, no. And I'm not saying you don't weigh prophecy, you do. And there's a specific way to do that. You look at 1 Corinthians 14, it shows you how to judge it. You know, each prophecy is you're supposed to judge the other prophets sit and judge. It's also the job of the pastor to be able to judge that. They'll say, yes, this is right. Yeah, no, let's check on that one. There's a process. It's a biblical process. You can read it. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. It's in there. But let me tell you something. If you want to check on something, come talk to me. I'll check it out for you. I've had people do that. They came up and say, hey, look, what do you think about this, Pastor? I'll say, you know what? I think you should go that way. And I'll say, no. Cut that off. No, don't even think about that. Just toss that one out. We have a choice today to be like Zechariah. We can listen, we can believe, we can walk. We can choose to disbelieve and be cut off. Please, let's choose form. If you're not hearing, ask the Lord, repent. Let those things start flowing again. Let them start flowing. God is always speaking. He wants you to hear. Just like Daniel, you can repent. You can repent on behalf of the people, of others that is necessary. And you can begin to walk into those things once again. The Lord will show you how to repent and how to walk. If you need help, come and talk to me. Let me help you, because I want everyone in here to be able to hear, to follow the word of the Lord. Let's hear. Let's obey. Let's trust. As we have faith, as we walk, God will do great and amazing things for us. Just like a lady who's too old to have kids, who's barren, God can put in us the promise of God when you think that it's too late. Let things happen that in the natural just can't happen. God will. We'll listen and obey. Let's pray.